promises. You never change, no matter the time. You are good to me. Every day gets sweeter. Every day gets better. 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 Every day gets sweeter. Yes, every day gets better. Every day gets sweeter. Every day gets better. Every day gets sweeter. Every day gets better.
Every day is getting better. Welcome, everybody. It is Monday morning, May 13th, 2024, and every day gets better, and you are good. In the morning, in the evening, every day is better than the day before. Now, that might not be true in a worldly perspective, and it definitely isn't true in a material or physical perspective. But if we're talking spiritual perspective here, we're talking one with the holy God who created everything, walking with Jesus hand in hand, arm in arm, then yeah, every day gets better. And not even by a little bit, by a lot. By a lot. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Rise Up here on this Monday morning. So good to see so many of you in the chat, like Ashley Garland, whom we're praying for, and MDUSMC. God bless you, and good morning, Amanda Collins. Happy belated Mother's Day to some of you. I heard some great Mother's Day stories about how your sons and daughters were just so kind and wonderful to all of you. Steve, good morning. Good to see you. Thank you for being here. I'm Sullivan is in the chat this morning. Moose for Trump. God bless you. Meemaw Becky, good morning to you. I know that we've got some prayer requests for children who are going through some tough times with dependency on drugs and alcohol and getting treatment for that. We definitely acknowledge them and have them in our hearts while we're going through the word today. God Chick says every day gets closer to being with him. But guess what? I've got a little bit of a twist to that. You don't have to wait to be with him. You can be with, he can fulfill you just as much on the day that you go home as he can right now. That's the greatest thing. That's the good news. That is the good news. I'm Sullivan. Good morning. Angel Grandmother. Hello and good morning. Brown Sugar. T. Mitchell. CQ. Hello. Good to see you. Cat 352. K. Girl Vibes in the building. How are you? Finally made it. Well, we're finally glad you're here. Mary. Splendor for Faith. Trishy 110. And how about Purple Snowflake? Good morning. Well, as you can see in the title, there's not much for you to chew on, is there? His last words. Now, those of you who are lucky enough to have gone to jeremyharrell.com in your past and scrolled to the bottom of the first page and signed up for the Revolution newsletter, you know what I'm talking about. But for those who didn't get the newsletter this morning, you may be a little confused as to what I mean when I say his last words. Today we're going to talk about that. Jeremy, glad you and Eli had some good downtime. Well, we did, actually. We were invited to an event in Connecticut. And so we left Friday after work. And nice enough to have been able to be invited so we didn't have to pay for any tickets, which is always nice. And do you want to know what got us invited to this beautiful event, this BKFC event, which is another combat sports event, was actually short clips that Eli makes of our show. Funny how God works. And boy, we got connected with some good, God-fearing, down-to-earth, straight-from-the-hip, wonderful men of integrity and moral compass. And we had a great weekend. And we took our wives, and we had a wonderful time. And it was nice to be able to do that. It's nice not to have to go very far away, A, and it's nice not to have to pay for it, B. And both of those things that we got to experience this weekend. You know, Connecticut is only a 2.5-hour drive for us, so we got to invite it to Mohegan Sun, and I didn't even have to worry because I don't gamble. So didn't have to gamble or anything. And then, of course, while we're there making it actually ended up turning into a business thing, really, because the reason why we were there was for business. That's why we got invited. Ended up turning into a great business meeting. And then we've got Mike Crispy speaking with Donald Trump at the Trump rally. So very, very happy. Glad you got out and had fun. Yeah, we did. We definitely did. So what I want to talk about today is his last words. And you might be thinking about Jesus' last words on the cross. But that's not what we're going to focus on today. Okay? You're very well. Kalia, you're very welcome. President Trump talked about Mike Crispy also. Said hello to the network. Well, he said we have mutual friends. Say hello to the people you work with. I think that's what he meant. But did he say hello to the network? I didn't think he said that. If he did, please let me know, because I didn't see everything. I was just seeing it from little clips. Yeah, that was epic. So cool that Trump gave Mike Crispy a shout out. Amen. It really is. It's a testament to the work that we're doing here. You know what I mean? None of us are doing this for the clout or any of that. We're all doing this for the right reason, to save the country. So, you know, when you do good things like that, I guess good things come back on you. Al Brower says, praise the Lord for that wonderful blessing to you, Jeremy and Eli. I know, right? It was so great. It really was. It's nice to be able to have good people out there that recognize the work that you do. And Mike was great, said CQ. And Godchick said, I think he inferred that about the network. Okay, well, perfect. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Good guy. Good guy, that Donald J. Trump, huh? And 100,000 people in blue jersey, as Eli called it this morning, right? Sissy says, yes, he did. Mike did great opening up the rally. I was there. What a great thing to be a part of. I was so happy. I heard the shout out, not the network. Yeah, I didn't hear the network. I just heard, you know, to the people you work with. We have mutual friends. So I assume that means us, but either way, doesn't matter. Just a great opportunity for Mike. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's just, Jeremy, when you met President Trump, did you shake nervously? I would have thrown up a little bit. No, Eli, we weren't like nervous when we were shaking. We were just like, man, great to meet you, right? course, Secret Service was also there, and we were afraid to reach out and get killed because thinking, you know, we might be doing something. So we were like, only that nervous. Not to meet him, but, you know. Yeah, that's right. It's right. I did. So anyway, let's get back to his last words. If I were to ask everybody in this chat right now, what are the first words of the Bible? And again, remembering that the Bible is not a book. The Bible is a library of books. But if I asked you all, what are the first few words of the Bible? Every single person in this chat would be able to tell me. Every person. But if I were to ask you all, what are the last words in the Bible? I bet only 10% of you would be able to say it. I couldn't have, not until last night. There you go, Kittenhead, in the beginning. Lolo, in the beginning, in the beginning, in the beginning. But what does it say at the end of the Bible? That's what I want to focus on today. His last words. Because that's whose last words are at the end of the Bible, folks. Jesus's, the Son, the Savior, the one who in his absence we have the Holy Spirit of our Father God until Jesus comes back and finally takes us where we're supposed to be. That's what we're going to focus on today. Annette says, I was promoting LFA TV on RSPN during the Trump rally. A big shout out to RSBN too, right? You know, we're going to be back covering Trump rallies again, but it's going to be after the move. It's going to be after we move to Iowa, and then we're going to be back covering them again. So today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask for for discernment, and let's ask for the Lord to use the Holy Spirit that guides us every day to help me get the message out correctly, okay? All right. Lord and Heavenly Father, so very grateful and appreciative to be able to come back together again after a long weekend. So very blessed to have such great things happen to the individuals of this company, to the company as a whole, because this company is built on a foundation. And that foundation is the Word of God. And we'd have it no other way. And today I want to speak about the last words spoke in the Bible. A departing letter from Jesus to all of us. Lord, please help me articulate the message of your Word today in these last verses of the Bible. And I pray that everybody watching and listening will be touched by your word today, and they can apply it to their lives. We thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's get into living the 66 books of the Bible, so that we can understand from a bird's eye view what the book of Revelation is really all about and some of the key things in Revelation that we're going to want to make sure we remember. Having said that, I'm going to ask you and remind you to please make sure you're logged in to your profile on Rumble. Please make sure that you are following the page. Sometimes you're automatically unfollowed. If you are automatically unfollowed, then you're going to have to re-sign up for a monthly donor on Rumble if you're a Rumble rant monthly ranter. And also, do us the kind favor of rumbling and sharing out the link. Then it clicked. Have you ever had that experience before? Something seemed baffling, intimidating, beyond your ability to figure out. But as you kept studying, and as you kept reading, and reviewing the matter, suddenly it clicks. You begin to see how it all fit together. That is how it is with the book of Revelation. This book is God's way of ending his Bible by making us think. He especially wants us to think about the upcoming future, the rapture of the church, the events of the tribulation, the return of Christ, and our new glorious eternal future in his new heavens, his new earth, and new Jerusalem. If you don't understand Revelation, do what my wife says and keep reading it. Keep studying it and thinking through its pages. With the help of the Holy Spirit, it will start fitting together in a way that will thrill you with anticipation, to encourage us to continue on. We have two promises from God. Revelation 1:3 says, we are blessed by reading the book. And Revelation 22:7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The events of history are swirling together in a tornado that will lead directly to the return of Jesus Christ. Everything worthless and worldly will be swept away, but those who love Jesus will inherit all he has promised. The last invitation of the Bible invites whoever desires to come and drink from the fountain of eternal life, which is Christ Jesus himself. I urge you to do that today. The key theme of Revelation, Christ is returning. Whoever desires is invited to come and drink of the waters of eternal life and live. That's Revelation. And now let's get to those verses. Revelation 22, verse 12 through 21. That's what we're going to focus on today. Revelation 22, go to the last, very last passages in the Bible of Revelation, in the book of Revelation in the Bible, and we're going to read from 12 all the way to 22, or 21, excuse me. Okay? Here we go. And I'm reading from the complete Jewish Bible, just so you know. You guys can have any version you want open. I'm sure it will say something very, very similar. Pay attention, says Yeshua. I am coming soon. This is Jesus speaking the last words in the Bible. Now, I want to make a point here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You find that out in the book of John. Then we find out that the Word became flesh and died for our sins. Who is that? Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning, and Jesus is there in the end. Arthur says he'll be leaving for the Philippines tomorrow morning. Anna wants to have her 50th birthday at home. See you all on June 7th. My friend, we love you. Thank you for being here every day. Thank you for the donations. Have a wonderful, safe trip. Happy birthday to your wife. And I hope she has a beautiful one as well. So let's keep reading. I am coming soon, and my rewards are with me to give to each person according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, A to Z, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Just like the book is laid out. He's making sure you don't forget. How blessed are those who wash their robes so that they have the right to eat from the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. Folks, he's not talking about doing your laundry. Not in a physical sense. He's talking about cleaning your laundry in a spiritual sense. Okay? Now, what he says here is, so that they have the right to eat from the tree of life and go through the gates into the city, New Jerusalem, the new earth, heaven, for eternity. But guess what it says about the people who are on the outside of that gate? Outside are the homosexuals. First thing he says. Why doesn't he say, for the first thing, outside are the murderers? Outside are the hateful? Outside are the pedophiles? First thing he says, outside of that gate are the homosexuals. Those involved with the occult and with drugs, the sexually immoral, murderers, idol worshipers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So trans, liars, thieves, hypocrites. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the messianic communities. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. And let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life free of charge come. I warn everyone hearing the words of the prophecy in this book that if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues written in this book. And if anyone takes anything away from the words in this book of his prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and the holy city as described in this book. The one who is testifying to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Yeshua. May the grace of the Lord Yeshua be with all. Those are the last words. Those are the last words inspired by Jesus, Yeshua himself, his words, and the 66 books of the Bible. And he was the word that was with God in the beginning of it all. He is the A to Z. That is the departing letter of Jesus Christ that he leaves with all of us as a reminder, as a don't forget, FYI, this is it. Here's my last words to you. The train is coming. I gotta go. Here you are. I leave this with you. Very, very powerful and insightful message. It's kind of like him summing up the Gospels, him summing up the Old Testament and the New Testament in like 9 verses. Now, I believe everybody's looking for the Antichrist of their age, right? Do you want to know what I truly believe? I believe that the Antichrist will be of AI. That's what I believe. It's the only way to get everybody on the same page. God Chick says NKJV, New King James Version, and the NIV says those who are sexually immoral. I believe he mentions that first because we are the temple where God lives now. We are not to defile the temples of our body. Well, we can defile it with drugs and alcohol as well. Amanda says those departing words are beautiful. They really are. And they really open your eyes to everything. Like I said, he sums it all up in 9 verses. Sums up the entire Bible. He sums up the whole First Testament, the Torah, the Old Testament, and then he sums up the New Testament in 9 verses. Annette says, next week is Pentecost. Baptize California is happening. Over 1,600 churches will be holding baptisms. I think there's going to be a shift. I think it's already happening. And I think you're right. CQ said, we were just talking about AI in our fellowship group at work. Jeremy, Pastor Greg says the same thing. AI will be the Antichrist. I didn't even know he said the same thing. That's just truly what I believe. When you start thinking about what would need to happen for the Antichrist to embody what it says he will embody and how everybody looks at him in a certain way, it can't be another human being. Not in my opinion, anyway. Everybody will think it's a human being, but I believe it won't be. I believe it'll be a collective of evil, antichrist thoughts and people putting it together, and AI will then take over. Like, now, I mean, maybe not like Terminator take over, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe. Maybe even that too. I don't know. AI is scary. I believe that the Antichrist will be a person on the board of the WHO, said Vitamist. How about an AI version of a person on the board of the WHO? With AI, they have to... Here's the thing. The Antichrist, everybody has to, like, get behind and love and want to be a part of. Like, how are you going to do that with a human being? Arthur Nettler says, in the Philippines, they are debating the banning of AI on the islands. Probably a good idea. I will never watch Blade Runner again. Jeremy, I lean towards that as well. I have experienced evil online. Jeremy, I took a picture of this verse and posted it for everyone to see and said people need to repent. Well, good for you. Because those last words of the Bible are pretty intense. I got some more stuff here that I want to read. Well, thank you, Kong. God bless you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the devil is a liar. What better way to deceive and lie, Eli, than AI? Look how good it's become. It's to a point now, ladies and gentlemen, where you cannot even tell the difference. And if the devil is the master of all lies and deceit, and the devil has to use the lies and deceit in order to bring everybody to him as the savior of the world, the one who's going to bring peace, wouldn't it make much more sense that it is AI and that people think it's just a human being, but all of us know the difference? Talk about the ultimate lie. Talk about the ultimate deceit. The devil doesn't have the power to combat Jesus Christ or God. He only has the power to deceive, confuse, lie to all of us, to all of you. What better way to do that than with AI? The world is not going to get behind a single person. There's too much diversity in the way of thinking and opinion. See what I'm saying? But it can trick people. That's just all I think. That's how I think. So what do we need to do in that time while the world is waiting for the Antichrist? I'm waiting for Jesus to come back. I understand that a part of that is the Antichrist, but I'm not focused on that. I'm not focused on the Antichrist. My brain is not thinking of who the Antichrist is going to be and when is it going to come. I truly don't care. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's AI. I don't care if it's a person. I don't care if it comes tomorrow. I don't care if it comes in a billion years. I just care when Jesus comes back to get me. That's what I care. So I'm living for the glory of God. How about you? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. I don't think worrying or anticipating the coming of the Antichrist is what Jesus wants us to do. It's inevitable, just like death. So why are we focusing on death? We focus on the glory of God, and that is it. And then we'll be rapture ready at all times and filled with joy while everybody else is dying inside and outside. When we think about being a dad to the glory of God, we can see how crucial our parenting is to God. Today, be a dad or a mom to the glory of God and that only. Lord, my prayer is that I am a dad to the glory of God. Raising great kids is good, but it's not enough if my children never grasp living for you. As I interact with my kids, help me to remember that my goal is to be a dad to the glory of God. Lord, I praise you for the children you've given me. May they too do all to the glory of God. You know, we get a lot of compliments here on LFA, Eli. You and Jeremy do so much. You and Jeremy are so great. Eli, Jeremy and Eli are, thank you for everything that you guys do. Thank you for all the time you guys put in. You guys are wonderful. We love you. We don't know what we'd do without you. We get a lot of amazing, beautiful, wonderful, I don't know if they're true or not, but compliments. And every single time I say, give it to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. Give it back to God. I'm not here because of me. I'm not here because of Eli. Neither of us are here because of Satan. Nobody handed us this. This was a collective thing that God did by bringing you, the people who watch all of this, and us, the people who host all of this, together for his glory. Period. Point blank. End. That's it. And it goes as far and as big as God wants it to. If he wants it to stay right where we are forever, I'm okay with that. We're all paying our bills. Kind of. Sometimes we rob Peter to pay Paul, right? Biden's IRS really wants to come after anybody who's trying to do anything well. But you know what I'm saying. God will provide. We're good. So all glory goes back to him. If all good things come from him, then all glory has to go back to him. If the good thing, the word became flesh in the beginning of this Bible, came from him, and in the end, him giving us a departing letter and gave basically the ultimate reminder, that's all glory to God. You can take a compliment. I can, and I do by default when I say thank you. And then I say all glory to God. So I do take the compliment. I feel it. I love it. I'm thankful for it. Then I pass it on to Jesus, just like my problems. Here's my problems. Take that right over there. Take that right over there. I'm posting a GoFundMe link. I've been watching Jeremy since 2020. My daughter's in the ICU with a brain tumor. Normally don't ask for help. Please give this young... please put that in the comment section below. We'll look that up. Eli, if they put that in a comment section below, will you email that to me? Thank you for that. And we're so very sorry to hear about that. That just kind of threw my whole train of thought off. But obviously God wanted me to see that. We'll be praying for your daughter, and we'll definitely help out. Of course we can. Like I said, God will provide. We never know what's going to come next month. We never know if we're going to be here next month. You know, everybody gets sick, economic woes, FBI takes them away. We're just thankful for the time that we're here, and that's why we give the glory to God. But again, I say to Jesus here, you take that problem, You take this problem. Also, this is a big one. This one's bothering me big time. Take this. Oh, but also, here's all the good things too, because it's got to go back to God. It came from God, right? Just like we did. And that's where we're ultimately going to go back. So here, give this back to him too and tell him thank you for that when somebody throws us a compliment. So I just give everything to him, good and bad. A lot of it just comes from the, I don't think I feel like I deserve it either. You know what I mean? Like, the way I sent off the audience last Friday, Eli, that wasn't a very deserving of good compliment when I dropped the F-bomb on that person who was running their mouth in the chat and being ridiculously rude. That probably wasn't all glory to God, but I give that to him too. And I say, can you take this from me? I apologize. I repent. Shouldn't have done that. Hopefully I don't ever do that again. Please help me with that. And I give that to him too. I want to, it is Comfort Monday. We have Comfort Mondays and we have Comfort Fridays, right? Yeah, that hurt my heart too, to hear that. It changed everything, didn't it? Here, ladies and gentlemen, is Ray Comfort on this Comfort Monday. I have not seen this video yet, so let's watch it together, shall we? Here we go.
Talk about the Gospels.
What's your name?
Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
They're not necessarily eyewitness accounts. They're written in the third person.
Hold on. This is the wrong one. I apologize. That was a cross-examination video that I had that I'm also going to share with you, but not today.
Do you believe
this is the one we're going to today? Here we go. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I apologize for that. Victory says, my temper got to me this weekend. I know the feeling.
Do you believe in God?
I do not believe in God. If a higher being existed, I'd ask them to, you know, pay for my next meal and then...
Are you grateful that you've got eyes that can see?
When I wake up in the morning and realize I can see, hear, smell, and taste, I kind of am angry.
Why are you angry?
Well, the answer to that is just, if you don't care about anything, then just end it all. But I can't get myself to do that, so...
Do you have suicidal thoughts?
Constantly.
Is that scary?
At first, when I didn't understand why I had them, and I still kind of don't, me breathing in and breathing out gets me a little sad.
The reason I asked about gratitude is that God gave you life, and you tell him to go away in the horriblest way possible. He gave you life.
Yeah.
He gave you eyesight. He gave you a brain to think with. The reason you can breathe is because God's given you air and lungs that can breathe it in. I want you to care about your life. I don't like the thought of you having suicidal thoughts. No. It horrifies me. Because the odds are that one day you'll do it. You'll find a gun in your home and say, I'm so depressed, and just shoot yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that, and I don't want that to happen to you. So I'm going to try and find the cause of the problem, and then, with the help of God, deal with it. Do you think you're a good person?
I feel like I'm a good citizen.
So you pick up litter. That's very good. No, I'm saying, do you do things that are morally offensive to God?
I wouldn't know. I don't keep track on what he... finds offensive or not.
Well, you do. You've got a conscience. You know right from wrong. It's wrong to lie and steal, isn't it?
I don't know exactly what was written down.
The Ten Commandments are written in stone. The Ninth Commandment says you shall not bear false witness. How many lies have you told in your life?
Too many.
You ever stolen something?
Have I stolen something?
Let me tell you something, Bill, and this is interesting. You know you're talking to a liar when he repeats the question because he's abiding time to think of an answer. Have you ever stolen something?
Yeah,
okay, I appreciate your honesty. Yeah. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Oh, anytime I get the chance.
Would you use your mother's name as a cuss word?
1,000%.
You don't honor your mother?
No, because I don't appreciate that I was born.
Yeah, the Bible says, honor your father and mother that all may be well with you and your days may be long upon the earth. In other words, the Bible's saying if you don't honor your parents, all will not be well with you. Most people wouldn't use their mother's name as a cuss word because they respect their mum. But you don't respect the God that gave your mum because you've used his holy name as a cuss word.
No.
Very serious. That's called blasphemy. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I've looked at most genders of lust, yes.
Have you had sex before marriage?
Yes.
Here's a quick summation of your court case on Judgment Day. I'm not judging you, Merlin, but you've told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, self-righteous adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be innocent or guilty.
To those commandments, yes, I will be guilty.
Heaven or hell?
I don't think hell is described in the Bible, but...
Yes, it's very descriptive. This is what Jesus said. Fear not him who has power to kill your body, and afterwards do no more, but fear him who has power to kill your body and destroy your soul in hell. And then he said, hell, where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. It's a terrifying place. You don't want to go there. Ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
No, I haven't.
It's very famous. It's saying that God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a heinous criminal that's committed murder, but he insists he's a good person. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. Right. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. And Merlin, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. And your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. So that brings us to the gospel. What did God do for guilty sinners like you and me so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
Give his one and only son and had him... die on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven.
Well, most people know that, but they don't know this. And Merlin, if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. So don't let anything distract you, okay? The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. You say, look, you've pleaded guilty, someone's paid you fine, you can leave. And it's legal. God can legally take death off you. He can legally let you live forever, all because of what Jesus did on the cross through his death and resurrection. And if you'll simply repent and trust in Jesus, the Bible promises God will grant you remission of sins and the gift of everlasting life. Not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. Is this making sense?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Merlin, do you believe in the devil?
No.
Do you know what the Bible says of him? It says he's the God of this world and he blinds the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So that's what Satan does. He blinds your mind to the truth of the gospel because he's your enemy. Now, if you're going to be given $1 million at 8 o'clock in the morning to spend any way you wanted with one condition, you get shot at 8 o'clock at night. You're paid for your life. It's called a snuff video. People are going to watch it with pleasure, watch you get shot. Listen to what Jesus said about that. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And you're giving up your life, your very life, not for $1 million, but for your love of sin, your love of pornography, sex with a pretty girlfriend. You're going to make a choice today. Say, God, I've sinned against you morally. I need your mercy. Or you can say, God, I don't care. I'm going to hell and it doesn't worry you one bit. I'm going to enjoy the pleasures of sin. I'm going to get my $1 million even if it means I'm giving up my life. Please don't do that. Think about my tone. Why am I so passionate? Why am I so earnest? It's because I love you and I don't want you to go to hell. So I want you to think about this with a sense of seriousness. Will you do that?
Yeah, I understand.
Can I give you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible?
Sure.
Merlin, it's been great to talk to you. And when I say I love you, I really do. And I hope and pray you'll think about this with a sense of seriousness and you won't put off your eternal salvation till tomorrow. Tonight, maybe as you lay your head on your pillow, you'll say, boy, what that guy said was true. I really need to get right with the God that gave me life. Let me get you that book. $2 $5 in and out cards for dinner tonight. Made you smile a little, didn't it?
Remember the first thing I said, if I saw God, if a higher being existed, I'd ask them to, you know, pay for my next meal and then...
Wow!
Let him pay for my meal and then he can...
Wow. Wow.
You're getting your meal paid for.
Yeah.
But he's not going to go away.
Wow. Look at the pain.
Living Waters exists as a non-profit ministry to help you grow in your faith.
Look at the pain. But look at the smile on his face at the end of the video. He wasn't smiling in the beginning. He said, if a God exists, I'd ask him to pay for my next meal and then tell him to basically be gone. He didn't say that to Ray, though, did he? And Ray paid for his next meal. Now, that is a person who is struggling with his gender, struggling with his happiness, his joy, his depression, wishes he was never born. Probably on, I can tell you this, I bet you that man is on many different pharmaceutical antidepressant drugs. He's probably on drugs that are depressants as well. He's very conflicted, very confused, and he was even had a pink scrunchie on his hand. So he clearly is conflicted between man and woman. But God paid for his next meal, didn't he? And he smiled, didn't he? So all of us could approach people a different way. All of us can say different things to try to get through to people. But 9 times out of 10, most of us would just be doing that to see if we could be the ones that broke his shell. And that's not what it's all about. It's about doing it with loving kindness and just praying for the outcome. Man, does Ray have a way of doing things. I believe that that man changed in 10 minutes. Now, he might not change his way of life for a while, but that man changed in 10 minutes. Imagine if somebody could spend an hour with him, bringing God to him. Now, that man is never going to go to God, but we can bring God to him. That is the job of a Christian. It's a major reason I'm going to Iowa. Does anybody wake up and say, I'm going to Iowa? Eli, you ever woke up and said, hey, I'm going to move to Iowa of all places? People don't do that. But Iowa is a beautiful place full of beautiful people. God's calling me there for a lot of reasons, and that's one of them. I have to bring God to some people, and I know exactly who I'm bringing him to. And maybe, just maybe, if God's plan and his will is for Julie Green and I to do some stuff together to bring people to the Lord, then guess what? I am 100% down with that. Because Ray planted some very, very wonderful seeds in that young man. And like I said, from that moment to the next, changed him. Race mom says she's moving to Iowa too. Guess Iowa's becoming popular. That's okay, John. It's okay, buddy. Definitely put it down there just so we have it forever, okay? You got me there, hip hop. All right, I'm going to read one more thing on your way out, and then I'll let you go. And you know what? Let's have you go out with the same way we all came in, and let's listen to some good music on the way out, huh? Do we have that? There we go. There we go. Let's read. Remember I talked about AI? Defense against deceit. 2 Corinthians 11:3. I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. When a Wall Street investment manager defrauded investors out of billions of dollars, the guilty financier himself described it as one big lie. He caused his investors to believe something that was not true. That's a good way to describe the devil's primary strategy against the children of God: tempting them, influencing them to believe something that is not true. While Satan will attack truth wherever it is found, anything to promote discord and confusion on earth, it is the truth of God's word that Satan most wants to negate. In the biblical account, the first time we see him on earth, he is in the Garden of Eden convincing Eve that she will not die if she disobeys God's explicit instructions. Satan deceived Eve, causing her to believe what was not true, and Eve died spiritually on the spot. The best way for a Christian to defend against Satan's deceit is with the Word of God, the Word of the Spirit, confidently correcting Satan's lies with God's own words will cause the devil to flee. No wickedness on earth is more common than the various forms of deceit. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for being here today. And remember, everybody focuses on the beginning of the Bible. Today we focused on the end. And the end was a great message from Jesus to you. And I hope it helped. I hope you have a great morning. Mike Crispy, the great Mike Crispy, who got the biggest shout out from Donald Trump this weekend, is on next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America after that. So I'm going to go get ready for that. You get ready for Mike Crispy, and we'll meet in the middle. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. See you later.